morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're well into another month, and I know the Master Gardeners are really starting to pick up their gardening activities and volunteer activities because this is when, you know, sort of when gardening here in El Paso is really taking off.
Right, exactly. You know, it's definitely warm enough. Things have broken dormancy. Trees are leafed out. And then all of a sudden, we start anticipating or start seeing problems, or we have questions and we need those answers and we need those recommendations. So the Master Gardeners are very busy on their help desk. I mean, they field questions by phone, by email, even on the Facebook page. So there's a lot of different ways to be able to get all your information, all your questions answered with research-based information that's non-biased, that we're just here to empower you and to give you those tools, that knowledge to make those decisions for your own landscape.
And, you know, speaking of the Master Gardener Facebook page, I really want to direct our listeners to go there because you guys have some really terrific photographs and you guys are always updating the community as to all your activities. And I think maybe our listeners might not be familiar with really how involved you are in so many activities.
When it comes to gardening, I mean, you can talk about one section of gardening for days on end. But yes, we are involved. We have a lot of different partners here in El Paso County. We work really closely with the City Parks Department. The Master Gardeners, as you know, have that rose garden where they prune and they deadhead all of the roses, to a vegetable teaching and demonstration garden, to some native plant gardens. We're here on campus, right across the street. So we're all different places. And really the big thing, the big anchor that any Master Gardener Association has is that help desk and that speakers bureau.
And speaking of the help desk, I know you guys have gotten a lot of questions. And so what are some of the questions that you have been getting lately on that helpline?
A lot of questions are on turf grass and how do I kill any invasive weeds coming into my turf grass. And we know that Bermuda, which is one of the most common grasses here in town, or what we actually recommend is our number one turf grass. It's broken dormancy because we've already hit our 80 degree weather. So it's starting to green up and then people start watering that. And once they water it, it's not just the Bermuda that's getting green. It's also all of the other weed seeds that have been kind of sitting there dormant and they kind of sprout as well. So the most important thing is to identify what kind of weed, and I use that with my air quotes, you're trying to control, because herbicides in general are going to be characterized into two different main categories, whether they're a broadleaf, which means that their leaves are going to be broad. And if you look into the sun with a leaf, you'll see that the veins on the leaf are going to be kind of webby, just veining all over the place. And if it's a grass weed that you're trying to control, then if you hold up that leaf of that plant, you'll see that all of those veins are parallel to one another. And that's really important when you go shopping for an herbicide, because you want to make sure that it's going to be a broadleaf killer or it's going to be, in fact, a grass killer. That's going to be your two main categories. And then the third category for herbicide is going to be a non-selective herbicide. And that's going to be something that has glyphosate, which is a common trait name being Roundup. That's going to kill anything that's growing. So there's all these different categories that you have to make sure to look at. One thing that I will recommend that you do not purchase is a bag that's called a weed and feed product, which tells you that it's going to weed out all of the bad weeds in your yard at the same time that it's going to feed your desirable turf. And that's one thing that you don't want to do. It's just almost like a medication when you're taking things. You want to make sure that you're just going to treat that one symptom at a time and not get kind of convoluted with a combination type thing. So if you have weeds, then treat your weeds. If you want to feed your lawn, then feed your lawn with a separate product. Don't combine them. We've seen countless problems where trees die off. Mulberry trees are very susceptible to all of these weed and feed products. And you start seeing that blanching, that yellowing of the leaves that's indicative of herbicide damage. So really stay away from those kind of things. The best way to be able to suppress or eliminate the weeds in your yard is to really either take them out by hand, catch them when they're small, or make your turf grass stronger to be able to muscle out all of those weeds that are trying to invade that space.
And how would you do that?
Well, the best thing to be able to do that is just like with anything else, you want to make sure that you give enough water to your turf grass. You want to make sure that that water gets into at least 4 to 6 inches deep into the soil, and that's going to promote those roots from being so shallow to be really deep roots, and it's going to start anchoring that soil, and it's going to start sending stolons or rhizomes, which are either underground or below ground stems, to be able to start branching out. That's going to essentially crowd out any potential weeds from going in there. And then, of course, it depends on how much maintenance you want to put into your turf grass, on how much fertilizer you want to apply. So you can definitely get away with very minimum applications of fertilizer if you know what that nutrition level is in your soil.
And with the windy spring that we're always expecting, there's always going to be weed seeds sort of floating around. So, you know, you think you've got it covered for a week. The next week you see, you know, that part of your yard that you just pruned out all the weeds, there they are all over again.
Right, exactly. So you need to make sure that you get those small, or you do those spot applications. If you're going to go the herbicide route, you want to make sure you get those spot applications in there. I see a lot of things, the broad leaves, the dandelions are going to start coming in, all of those things. You need to be able to get those out quickly. They go from flower to seed very fast.
And some of those weeds get incredibly tall, because I know there are some areas where I walk and they're just areas that are not landscaped and they're not really part of any property, but there are weeds that grow there and they are incredibly tall. It doesn't matter whether they're winter weeds or summer weeds. When left unchecked, they just get out of control. And you know that as soon as they've gotten as big as they are, they're just going to go ahead and multiply even further, and the problem's just going to get worse.
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of times if people let go and they'll get, you know, that unsightly little ticket there from a kind of violating kind of city ordinance or their HOA is not very happy with that, then a lot of times what they'll do is just mow them down. And that's actually just adding seeds, it's adding leaves, it's adding stems right back into that area. Mm-hmm. So you're essentially cultivating more and more weeds.
That's right. And if you are going to be using glyphosate or some chemical on your weeds, also be careful not to spray it during the windy season or during a windy day, because you might end up spraying plants that you might not want to kill.
Right, exactly. And the rule of thumb is if the wind is more than 5 miles per hour, which is very, very, very unlikely in our springtime weather to be able to get that. So the best thing for you to do is to do that very early in the morning. That tends to be our calmest time as far as wind speeds, to be able to get that. Because the last thing you want is any kind of drift.
And we do know there are the listeners who don't want to use any type of chemicals, in which case we ask you to perhaps water your weeds, which sounds a little unusual, but it's the best way to get them out, root and all. If you soften up that soil with some water, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to pull those weeds out.
Yeah, exactly, because you can essentially just kind of snap it at the soil surface, and you essentially sometimes can leave that growing point still there, and you're not necessarily killing the plant itself. Some people that don't want to do a traditional herbicide, there's some recommendations for you. Hot scalding water has also been proven to be able to kill any kind of weeds growing on there. And you may see on the internet that there's a lot of recommendations for vinegar. And you have
Very strong, by the way.
Yes, you definitely have to look at the concentrate. Now, what we buy to color our Easter eggs or to to add to our salad dressing, that's going to be a 5% acetic acid. What is recommended is a 20% acetic acid concentration. So I don't think that's very likely for any of our homeowners to be able to come across vinegar in that concentration. So be leery on that and those recommendations, and realize that if you put that household vinegar on there, you may not get the results that you're looking for.
So what else are listeners or our area gardeners asking about this time of year?
Well, definitely people are looking at to see what is going on with their beneficial insects, or they have bugs. Anytime you put a plant out there, whether it's a vegetable or a newly planted plant, you start seeing that life comes along with it. So you start watering it, it starts growing, and then all of those little pesky bugs start popping up. Especially on vegetables, you'll start seeing a lot of aphids at this time. You'll see a lot of the black aphids. and green aphids coming on the undersides of the leaves. And just make sure that you treat those appropriately. And especially if you're eating edible food crops, if you're using any kind of product to control or to suppress them, you need to look in the back of that label that is on there. It's going to tell you exactly how to use any kind of product. And when you're using on edible crops, you want to make sure to look at that days to harvest table. It's going to tell you what that pesticide is labeled for and how many days you need to apply that before you harvest your plant. So make sure that you keep an eye on that window, that you not just be able to spray it and then pull it off into your garden. I know that we're not there yet, but just be aware that it's early on in the season. You still should be okay on that, but make sure you read that label.
And also just a nice dishwash soap / water mixture should also help take care of those aphids.
Yeah, exactly. And again, definitely in the cool time of the day, the early morning, mm-hmm. if not in the late afternoon, because a lot of times that water will... you'll spray it on there, and especially on these broadleaf plants, and then that water droplet almost acts like a magnifying glass as the sun is kind of beating down on that too. So you don't want any kind of extra problems on that. So yes, the soapy water is a really great way to use, a great method to use. Very, very mild dish soap, about a teaspoon of dish soap to a gallon of water. Just enough for it to kind of feel kind of slippery on your fingertips is more than enough to kill those bugs. But do that when it has some shade or it's towards the end of the day or very early on.
What about those caterpillars that eat up your tomatoes?
Yeah, the hornworms. Yeah, those guys are big enough that you need to pluck those guys off on there.
As gross as it may seem.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So lots of bugs, but the best thing to do is let us help you identify what's going on by pictures, be as descriptive as possible, and we'll make sure to get you that right matchup, that plant ID with the right bug ID to help you treat your problem.
Yeah, and if you have a caterpillar, call ASAP because they will eat your plant to the ground in no time.
Yes, yes.
So what else are our listeners asking about?
Oh, definitely. So a lot of times people have lost plants, whether, you know, just by age or just didn't happen for them. They got the wrong plant in the wrong location. And they wanted to know exactly what should they replace it with. We had a listener call in, and she wanted to know how to replace her Mexican elder. And she has a patio that's about 25 to 50 feet. And she wants to make sure that it needs to be heat tolerant and it is kind of in a protective area. So, you know, you need to make sure that whatever plant you choose is not going to overgrow an area. It's always better to be a bit smaller. So, one of the things that she wanted to do is to replace that Mexican elder. And one of the things you need to look at is to look at that mature size of a tree. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks great in a small little 1 or 5 gallon container, but it will eventually grow up in larger area. So if you like the look of the Mexican elder, you want to make sure that you pick something that's similar to that, multi-branches, something that's going to complement that area. It's going to have those showy flowers mm-hmm. on there. So something like a Texas mountain laurel, or even some crepe myrtles do well and are tolerant in our area too. I got to be selective on which ones you're going to pick on that.
A Mexican buckeye is a really nice
choice. Really good choice as well. And that also has a real decorative kind of fruit pots mm-hmm. At the end of the year. So things like that to kind of have that interest and try something new. And I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
And if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, their helpline is open for you at 566-1276, 566-1276. And if you go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, you'll find an email link as well as a link to their main page where they have a lot of really helpful information for you, for vegetables, for trees, for plants, just about anything. So check out the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank our engineer for today, DJ Orozco, and we want to thank you for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.